desire and interest in your prayers this afternoon. Brother Ed mentioned this morning that the message he had was 2 years new, and he didn't say it that way. The message we have on our heart to share this afternoon has been with us since last Monarch as well, and it really just dovetails with some of what we have been hearing, what the Lord has been sending. And so for the purpose of the message this afternoon, I'm going to bring out a number of scriptures, but you can just sit back and I'm going to share them with you. But if you will have your songbook ready, we're going to look at some of the basics of the church in scripture and in song. So we're going to have Brother DeMar helping us out here. I'll just write on the board, and while I write, if you will turn to number 15 and let's sing verse 1.
Jesus founded, has triumphed for every foe.
Very thankful this afternoon for a victorious, triumphant church. And I still believe that. Do you? I still believe that there is a reality of a church that is victorious and is triumphant. The enemy would like to destroy who and what we are this afternoon. He would like to blur our vision of what the church is. And if he doesn't blur it doctrinally, he would like to blur it practically or experientially. That it would just become kind of this theoretical thing. But there is a practical reality to the church of God this afternoon. And if we fail to continue to teach what we call basic this afternoon, because this is basic, and I hope you all are able to say, yes, I know that. Thank God, I hope you do. But I hope that we never forget what it means to be part of the church of God and that it would be a reality among us as a people. I don't want to lose our identity as a people. Our identity is a people of God. So the question is, one of the questions that's often asked is, are we just a group among groups? Is this just another church among churches this afternoon? Let's get a little closer to home. Is it just another church of God among church of God sectism? Are we just following traditions of men? When we look out over the congregation, are we just perpetuating traditions of years gone past? What is it that's motivating us? Why do we teach what we teach? And why do we live like we live? Told the congregation last Sunday, I started with the young people, but I told them, I said, if you have a question on anything, anything at all, I said, fair questions deserve fair answers. So I said, if you don't want to ask me personally, write it down. And by the help of the Lord, I may say, I don't know, but we'll look into it together. I believe our young people are asking questions. Why? Why do you teach what you teach? And so by the help of the Lord this afternoon, I'd like to look into some of the basics of the church. Some of the attributes and characteristics. See, we have a wonderful heritage in this songbook. There's a wonderful heritage of truth in song. Brother Ivan beating you to the punch. Brother Lewis Williams, remember, growing up, as the youngest memories I have as a child, was Brother Lewis Williams leading the singing, saying there is a message in what? In every song. So as we look into the Word, we're going to also look at some of the message that's in the song, in the truth. You know, the songs are not true just because someone wrote them. They are true when they are measured to the Word of God. The same thing, just because something comes across this pulpit at Monarch Springs does not make it true. What makes it true is when you search the scriptures and you can verify it and say, indeed, this is the word of God. That's why we're still here. That's why I come back to Monarch, like Brother Ed said this morning. It's because there's a place we can come to get our vessel filled up and encourage and challenge. What is the name of the church? Help me out now. What is the name of the church? Church of God. Can someone remind me what minister's meeting that was voted on? It's in the Bible, isn't it? Do you recognize what makes the church of God unique and different? There is a reason for it. The name of the church of God is biblical. It's not something man voted on. Over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 14. And again, you don't need to turn and read. Normally, it's good to open up your Bibles and follow the preacher. And you're welcome to, but you're welcome to sit back and just enjoy the gospel and help us out with singing. But he said, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. It was named after the Father. It wasn't the church of Jesus Christ. It wasn't the church of God, something else. It was named after the Father, and we find in the scripture, to the church of God at Galatia, to the church of God at Corinth, to the church of God at Rome, to the church of God at Neosho. In other words, that was a geographical location. But church of God was not a name that man gave it. That's a Bible name. So when you wonder, why do we go by Church of God? It's because it's in the Bible. People have asked me before, so what church are you part of? And I ask them, say, well, what church is in the Bible? Let me turn in the Bible and the scripture and show you what we're part of. That's a whole lot more credibility then, isn't it, than pulling out some old notes from an old meeting or getting an old book off the shelf. It's able to go all the way back in thus saith the word of the Lord. And that's where there's credibility, is by the word of God. So who is the founder of the church of God? We've established it's church of God. So who's the founder? Jesus Christ. Do we still believe that this afternoon? Do you know that Martin Luther was not the founder of the church of God? Do you know that John Wesley was not the founder of the church of God? Let's take a step further. Do you know that D.S. Warner was not the founder of the church of God? This goes all the way back to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the founder of the church of God. And so when we talk about we're not wanting to follow man, that's more than just theoretical. It's reality. Christ founded his church. Remember, he spoke to Peter in Matthew chapter 16. He said, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist and some Elias. And, you know, he was a prophet, a good man. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art who? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus turned to him and said, Simon Bar-Jonas, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but the Father which is in heaven. And he went on to say this. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Isn't that wonderful? He wasn't building his church on Peter, but on the truth that Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We live in an age where the largest percent of nominal Christianity does not believe that Jesus was born to a virgin. I still believe it. Jesus Christ was all man, but he was all divine. And so is the mystery of the hypostatic union. But the church of God was founded by the truth that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. So if you will turn to number 25 in your book, in the song book, and let's sing verse 1.
Church of God, thou spotless virgin, Church of Christ, for whom he died, thou hast known no human founder. Jesus fought
thee for his bride, sanctified by God the Father, built by Jesus Christ the Son,
tempered by the Holy Spirit,
like the holy three in one, tempered by the Holy Spirit, like the holy three in one.
The Church of God has no human founder. This afternoon, it was founded by Jesus Christ. So then, who is a member in this church that Christ founded? Who is a member in the church? Those that are saved. All right, where's the scripture then that will back that up? Because that's right. Acts, the second chapter, in the 47th verse, it said they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And it said the Lord. Now keep in mind who added to the church. It said the Lord added to the church daily such as what? Such as should be saved. That's what makes us part of the church of God. Young people, understand. I still believe that. And you say, now who is your great-grandfather? Well, I didn't know who they were, and get a little suspicious now because I don't know who your grandfather was. If someone is saved and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and been forgiven of their sins, they have been born into the kingdom of God, the church of God. Amen. It's the Lord that adds, which means this. Man can't put you in it, and man can't kick you out. Sin is what separates people from God. Whether I know who you are, whether I have been to your place or your home or your congregation or your country, that's not what matters this afternoon. What matters is that you have passed through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is who is in the church of God. And if we lose that vision, that will make us just another church. That will make us just another fellowship. Unless we practice and actively believe that if you are washed in the blood of Jesus, you have been brought into the church of God. Amen? Church membership. The church is a divine institution. It's divine. Comprised of all people who are free from sin. And that truth alone separates the church of God from most other churches as well. Most churches teach that you cannot live free from sin. But what does the Bible teach us? That's the essence of salvation. That's who comes into the church of God. Are those, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Isn't that wonderful? That means the church of God is something bigger than just even what we see here. I am so thankful for the body of Christ, but I'm also thankful the church of God is bigger than me. Everybody that has come through Jesus Christ and is living without sin. But again, most organized religion says you can't live free from sin. But the scripture still says if we are in Christ, all things are become new. We don't lie, we don't cheat, we don't steal, we're not drunkards, we don't commit adultery, we don't commit a fornication. All of those moral violations that separate man from God, when you are born again, you turn your back on those, never to go back to them again as you walk in the light of the Word of God. Now, we still grow in the Lord. We're still human, and I know it's not profound. I've told my congregation before, told them at Fresno a couple years ago, I said, now this, I have something to share with you. And they were waiting for this profound statement. I said, saints are people too. In other words, we're still flesh and blood. It means that people still make mistakes, but when we are in Christ, thank you very much. When we are in Christ, we have turned our back on sin. In our walking in Jesus Christ, we sang, let's go back to number 15 now, and let's sing verses 2 and 4.
Oh, cannot the great Redeemer prevail over Satan here? or must remain yet under confusion pressed down in fear.
Thank God for a church triumphant.
Thank God for a church triumphant, but all pure in this world below. For the kingdom that Jesus founded doth triumph for every foe. 'Tis not in the church of Jesus
that people yet live in sin.
That people yet live in sin. But in the dark creeds they're joining and vainly are trusting.
Yes, thank the Lord.
In.
Thank God for a church
God
triumphant.
For a church
living free from sin through the power of Jesus Christ.
You're in this world below.
Not by our own righteousness, but by the power of God.
For the kingdom that Jesus founded does triumph for every foe.
There will always be a mixed multitude, and there was a mixed multitude in the time of Christ. There were those that were not living like they ought to be living. They were following for the loaves and the fishes. That is a reality still today. But you know, there is no place I would rather the hypocrite be than right here this afternoon. There is no place I'd rather the backslider be than right here under the sound of the gospel during this meeting. And so we truly do welcome everyone to come. It's the best place for them. But if you see someone and they're not living like they should, say, well, look at what the church is doing this. No, the church is pure. Now, there may be some people that don't have light that have walked away from it, but that doesn't change the reality of the holiness and the purity of the church. So we need to keep that. We need to remember there's a delineation there. Amen? All right, we already sang, so we're not going to sing it again. We sang 87, My Name Is There. Yeah. I know my name is there. When you've been washed in the blood, you are in the church of God. And you can rejoice because your name is there. That is a fundamental, vital truth that I would that ever stays alive among us as a people. Well, I'm not quite sure where you came from. If you came by way of the blood, we are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. It brings that we are unified by the cross. The world may be divided, but we are unified at the cross when we come through the blood. It brings us together in one body because there is one Lord and there's one faith. Thank the Lord. So what is it then that we teach? What creed do we follow? Told a group one time, it was in Pakistan, and we'd been traveling down through the country, and we met some ministers from a lot of different areas. We were going to have some teaching, and they were a little concerned because they were afraid I was going to pull out a creed book and start giving them these things they were supposed to do or not do. And all of a sudden, they recognized that what we had was the Bible. And let's study this and see what it says. And we went from scripture to scripture, and at the end they recognized this isn't like other churches. Because we don't have an earthly creed. It wasn't something that came from a group of ministers. Understand, we value the heritage. We value this godliness that was passed down in that heritage. But I want us to understand something. That's not going to be good enough to get me through the trials of this life. That's not going to be good enough to sustain this. But when we base everything that we teach and preach on the Word of God, it will last. The Word of God is unchanging, and that is the doctrine of the Church of God. It's the Bible. Amen? 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's the scripture this afternoon. That's the foundation of the church of God. He said, what do you believe? Let's see what the word says. And there go the, well, I think this and that brother thinks that. Let's go to the word of God. Folks, our young people need to have what we teach. It needs to be established in truth. I remember years ago, there was someone that had shared something at young people's meeting down at the old tabernacle. And it left the young people a little perplexed. What about this? Brother Ed got up, and I just want to share, this is just real life stuff now. He got up, he didn't know what had happened that evening. And he got up and gave an admonition. And he said, what we teach and what we preach needs to come from the Word of God. You know, the Lord put his hand on that thing. It brought some things back into balance that needed to be balanced. Our young people need to know the whys and wherefores, not when they ask out of a sincere heart. Now, foolish questions avoid, knowing they do gender strife. But when people are seriously seeking, I don't understand, we need to be qualified in the Scripture to be able to go to the Word of God and base our answers on good, solid, biblical foundation. Something, and then it's up to them to open up their heart whether they want to receive it or not. But that's the foundation of the Church of God. Let's turn to number 12 and read verse, and sing verse 1. Back to the blessed old Bible. Back from the land of confusion. Passing the wrecks and the creed. Just passing by. Back to the light of the morning. Jesus, our captain, leads. Be on our banners forever. Holiness unto the Lord. You see how much truth is in these songs? We want it to be more than just something that sounds nice. This is truth, and it's right, and it's part, it's our identity. This is what we are. This is what we believe because of what the Scripture teaches. You know, the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall what? See the Lord. So without peace and holiness, we won't see the Lord. Do you know there is a reason that we teach and preach and live holiness? Holiness means homogeneous. It's the same throughout. It's oneness. It's purity. It's godliness. That's what holiness is this afternoon. Holiness starts in the heart, does it not? If you take the sinner man or the sinner woman and you dress them up modestly and go baptize them in the water, full immersion baptism, they're still going to be a sinner when they come up. Because holiness is something that is a work of God in the heart. And yet, when our heart is pure and we are following Jesus with every our heart, with all of our love, it means then that the fruit that comes out of a holy heart is going to be holy fruit. When I pulled up this morning, I looked out over the grounds and I saw the men and the women and the boys and the girls walking and gathering in. It was a beautiful sight. I was like, Lord, I don't want us to ever lose this. I don't want to ever see a compromise in worldliness. But, you know, we're going to have to take a stand individually. And if everyone else compromised, the Word of God has not changed. There is a reason why we, even on the outside, there's a reason we dress like we do. We sure don't look like they did 140 years ago. There goes that argument. And people say, well, you're trying to emulate something from 140 years ago. That's not true. But we're still called to walk in holiness. We're still to live holy lives. We're still to be separate from the world. We're still, as the Scripture says, to the women to wear modest apparel, which means in the Greek a garment let down and flowing. something that's long and flowing. That's a dress in our culture. It was a robe in theirs. But the truth of that does not change. It's more than just trying to emulate something. The sisters that have long hair, the scripture says, that's your glory. Let's not let the devil cut the glory out. But let's keep following what the Bible teaches. There's a reason why we live and practice what we do. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. That wasn't something that someone decided somewhere back there. It's something we turn to the Word of God and see what it says. That's why we teach and live like we do today. Over in number 24. Now this might have been, Brother Carver might have been the one that taught us. But let's sing verses 1 to 3, okay? In the first two stanzas, you lead the sisters asking a question. And then the response, the brethren take over on those last two stanzas in answering the sister's question. Number 24, verses 1 to 3.
Are you love the Holy
sisters. No, you lead them. Listen to the words. Brethren.
Yes.
My soul came to Zion. I've seen the darkness leaving, driven by the light of day. Have you heard the voice of the Spirit calling? Come, my people, from confusion. Thank the Lord. I heard the voice and I responded. Don't want a stone from Babel. They must be dressed in uniform, clothed in that white raiment. Yes, thank the Lord. Soul is satisfied. Isn't that wonderful? Are you of the holy remnant? You know that when it talked about being dressed in uniform, it didn't mean the preacher gets out a specific pattern or gives a specific store with a tape measure in his hand. Not the job of the preacher. It's the job of the Holy Ghost in the life of someone that says, Lord, I want to live like you want me to live. And I want to obey the Word of God and follow you with all of my heart. And you know, we need to be big enough as a church this afternoon to recognize at times there are going to be some minor differences from people to people. But the Word of God should be the same. The standard of holiness is the same. It's holy, it's pure, it's godly, it's undefiled. It's humble. It's not of this world. And you know, when a heart accepts that and begins to grow in the Lord, it's going to bring people pretty close together. And it's not because we're doing it to conform to a group, but it's, Lord, we are wanting to conform to the truth of your Spirit. Amen. Foundation, we talked about the founder. Scripture says, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So let's turn to number 4 and sing verse 1. One foundation, not two, not three. Christ is the foundation. New creation. Thank the Lord. Church of God is the bride of Christ. Everybody that has been washed in the blood. All right, let's sing verse 4. The evening sun is shining. The voice of God is still calling for there to be a unity of faith. There's one body, there's one Lord. Yes, thank the Lord. The evening sun is shining. What's that all about? It's talking about when the time of Christ and that truth was, it was new and it was fresh and people were accepting that. And then before too long, people began to back away from it. They began to compromise. They began to water it down. They began to do things that Christ and the apostles had not taught. And darkness, religious, spiritual darkness came over the world. But then, thank God, the Spirit of the Lord was still calling. He was still leading, and he came and began to give vision of those old truths. It wasn't new light. It was the old light that he began to reveal one more time. We are very close to the coming back of Jesus Christ. Very close. Jesus is coming. It's dark. It's nighttime. It's at the end. And yet, there is still light. In the evening time, the light, it shall be light. That's based over in Zechariah 14, verse 6. It said, it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known as the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. The direct fulfillment of that was the coming of Christ with the Jews. But it is also true that that parallels with church history after the coming of Christ. And so when you look at your book and it says evening light songs, that's what it's talking about. In this evening time of this dispensation, there is still light and there is still truth. And I am thankful to be able to worship with the people that God is still blessing with that light. I don't want to lose it. Don't want to lose it, is it corporately or individually this afternoon? Over in verse 5. Now let's sing verse 5 of that same song. Back to the one foundation. Free from the darkness and the confusion. One God, one faith, one fold. You know, that is the still the message, part of the message of the church was to come out of confusion. Come out. And so a question is, well, can people be saved in the church down the road? Can people be saved in these other groups and fellowships and denominations? What's the answer to that? Of course they can, if it's by way of the blood. If they pass through the blood and repent of their sins, they're saved and they're part of the church of God, whether they know it or not. That's the church of God. But it is also true that when you are saved, but you are staying in a system that is feeding you with false doctrine and things that aren't true, it's really hard to maintain spiritual victory. If I'm sitting under the sound of a ministry that's saying you can't live free from sin, before long I'm going to start sliding back because I'm under that influence. And so the message is still relevant today. Come out of false teaching. Come out from that religious confusion and fellowship with a church that is not founded on man, but is founded on Jesus Christ, walking in the light of His Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the call to come out of Babylon, it's still relevant. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4 said, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins. Is that still relevant? It is. And so then where are people supposed to come? Do you know, I'll say as Paul did, he said, we preach not ourselves, but we preach who? We preach Jesus Christ. We preach the truth. We preach the Word of God. That's the difference. I remember speaking to some in a congregation that were coming out of some Church of God sectism. And they were asking, so what do we need to do to join? And they were pretty leery. What do we need to do? And I said, nothing. You be the Church of God right here in your locale. You follow the Word of God. You be what God wants you to be. And the Lord, through time, He wants to bring unity and fellowship among His people. But it's not because you went through a certain minister that brought you in the Church of God. No, I can be the Church of God in Springfield, in my home, and you can be the Church of God in your home. And I may not even know you. But when we get together and there's a blending of spirit and truth, you know, there's a craving for fellowship. And I would that we feed that craving. Too many times, and this is what happens in Church of God sectism, people are, they go by the name, but they don't have the experience. Or they are more ready to find reason to be suspicious than they are to reach their hand in fellowship to every blood-washed one. Now, I know that's a saying on a lot of church signs. We reach our hand in fellowship to every blood-washed one. Do we still believe that today? All right, there's a few of you do. Thank God for that. I still believe that. That we want to reach out. But Church of God sectism means we're more ready to push away than we are to receive. Yes, we have to be careful, but there's not a double standard. So I just want to clarify it real quickly by the help of the Lord. It is not if someone is going to minister and fill a place of leadership, the Scripture does say, as we mentioned earlier, know then the labor among you. So that's why it's not a double standard. We can accept your salvation and we can fellowship with you and worship with you, but we want to know your life before you take a position of leadership. And if all someone wants to do is come in and take a place of leadership, it causes you to kind of wonder what their motivation is. But where there is a humble heart and a desire to follow the Lord, there ought to be a receptive spirit among us as a people. And I will say, as part of God's wonderful church, that we are more willing to receive people's salvation than we are to cut them off. And if they're not walking in all the light, then let's love them and pray for them and set a standard and not lower where we're living to try to reach them. Let's keep following the Lord and pray that God would just continue to help people to grow in the Lord. Number 6 in your book. And we're going to try to move through this. I trust that you're, are you still awake? Can we sing a little bit more? A little more teaching and preaching. Well, number 6, wonderful song, the church's jubilee. Let's sing verse 1.
The light of eventide now shines the darkness to dispel. The glories of their times, 18,000 voices tell.
For out of Babel, talking about religious confusion. Truth's not being taught. Still a call to come and be in unity with the Spirit of the Lord. The day of freedom. It's dawned so bright and clear. Said, rejoice and be glad. The shepherd has begun. Verse 2. The Bible, that's our rule of faith. Christ alone. We're all equal this afternoon in the sight of God when we obey His word. We will not bow to man rule. We'll submit to one another. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, working together for the furtherance of the gospel. It's a day of freedom. Thank the Lord. The Church of God is inclusive of every blood-washed one, but it is exclusive. It is exclusive of everything that is contrary to Christ. It's exclusive of man rule, of sin, of impurity, of worldliness, of ungodliness. And some of those things may be in people in the camp, but it's not in the church, because the church is comprised of that holiness and that purity. It's freedom. Young people, this afternoon, if you ever start feeling like serving the Lord is about bondage, remember the devil's a liar. If you will serve the Lord with all of your heart, it is liberating. Why do we do this? We do just what we want to. We go wherever we please, and that is what we're doing here today. I couldn't help but as I listened to the message this morning, I thought there is nothing that makes me want to leave the ungodliness of this world more than anything than getting a better, clear vision of the holiness of Jesus Christ. Because now I'm not just not doing something, I am embracing something that is better and bigger than myself, that when I allow the Lord to come into my life, He enables me and gives me something that the world cannot give. So young people, it's not about, well, you can't do this and you can't go there and can't wear this. Who wants to follow Jesus if that's what it's about? No, it's about liberation. I am free from the world. I don't have to sin anymore. I don't have to be driven by the fads and the fashions and the ungodliness of the world, but I found something better in Jesus Christ. You want to talk about liberating? That's liberating. That's what the church of God is today. Thank God for that day of Jubilee. And Jesus Christ, the scripture says, He is the head of the body. See, this song says, to man rule, we will not bow. How will our young people know this if we don't teach it? Who's the head of the church today? Jesus Christ. I think the Catholics might agree with us too, though. But they say, but you know, in heaven, but on earth, we've got our... Wait a minute. Jesus, in reality, practically wants to be the head of His body here on earth, which means the brothers and sisters in the Lord are humbling themselves to one another, working together. It's not about one man is chief and everybody falls down in below, but it is working together for the cause of the Lord. We are organized by the Holy Spirit. It is God that sets the members in the body as it pleases Him. It is not by committee. It is not by election. It is not by vote. It is by the unction of the Holy Ghost that brings us together, that enables us to worship in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. And any time a man begins to set up or anything that happens has to go through a man, we're going to start having a problem. Because, as some say, they're getting too big for their britches. You've heard that expression? Do you realize that in the church of God, Jesus is the one? And if there's a difference, where are we going to go? Let's get together and pray and humble our heart and seek the face of God, that He would move among us if there's differences that need to be rectified. Amen? Thank the Lord for the organization of the Holy Spirit. Verse 3. Did we sing that? I don't think we did. All right, let's sing verse 3 of that song.
The day of thanksgiving for us forevermore.
Okay, it said it's forevermore past. We're going to dwell in the church. We reach our hand in fellowship. You've been washed in the blood. We accept your testimony until your life proves differently. Love entwines about each heart. Yes, thank the Lord. Do you realize that one of the reasons that when the scripture says that it's God that sets the members in the body, that's why the ministry does not go to seminary?
Praise the Lord.
That's the reason why, because when you go to a seminary, you get marked by what seminary you go to. The scripture talks about the mark of the beast, the mark of Babylon. You get the smell of Babylon because you've been trained in the ways of man. But how much better to be led by the Holy Spirit, qualified by the Lord, as they looked on the disciples and they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they took knowledge of them that what? That they had been with Jesus. There's nothing that qualifies someone more than being with Jesus. And then there is a responsibility to study the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Get to know what the Bible teaches, and that will qualify you more than anything else. Young people, be careful about thinking to go away to get educated to work for God. If you need to get some training for your job, that's one thing. But if you, if the Lord calls you and has a ministry for you, you see, spend time with God in prayer and study, and that'll qualify you more than any institution of higher learning can do. Amen. We're approaching the conclusion. Thank you for your participation and your attention this afternoon, but we're not quite finished. Let's turn to number one, the evening light, and let's read verses 1 and 4. Sing verses 1 and 4, number 1. Confusion, it's past. Evening light. The light of the Word of God. You get a glimpse of that light this afternoon. It gives meaning and it gives purpose to who we are and what we are and what we teach and what we live. All right. Free from Babel in the Spirit. It's not man's organization, it's divine. Joy and gladness. It's all right to rejoice in the light. It's all right to give God praise in the light. Pure light is coming fast. Now in Christ we found a freedom. How many of you all remember Sister Catherine Williams? Dare I ask, is that? I know it's getting fewer and fewer. But some of you all may remember years and years ago, we sang this song down there. I believe it was in the late 70s. And we sang this song, The Evening Light. And Sister Catherine, if I'm not mistaken, she stood up there, but she didn't stay right there. She was walking up front, and she was testifying when the Lord had called her to come out of religious confusion. And she accepted the light of the Word of God. And she said she was in town one day, and she met her old bishop. And the bishop asked her a question. He said, and this just is imprinted in my mind. He said, Sister Catherine, and this just coming from her. He said, Sister Catherine, he said, where are you worshiping now? And she said, I'm worshiping the Lord and I'm free. And she said, you mean you don't have a bishop to tell you what to do? She said, no, I'm free in the Lord. You know, I am still free in the Lord. I want you to be free in the Lord. And if you are in bondage in the church of God, you need to be liberated. When you get a vision of the light, it makes you want to rejoice. Because now I'm not following men's traditions or what man has done. I'm walking in the light of God. And there's something inspiring and invigorating and free in that. Worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. That's our desire and our purpose. There is, the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, there is one body, there is one spirit, even as ye are called, one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, there is one faith, and there's one baptism, one God and Father of all. And Brother Ivan said it well this morning, so I'll just point back to what he said. What binds us then together It's not because we all have the same interest as far as, you know, some are from the city, some are from the country. Some are from the East Coast, some are from the West Coast, and some are here in the Midwest. We come from different races and different backgrounds, but do you realize it is the love of God? Because we pass through the blood that we can come together in oneness, in equality, in love, in purity, bound together. Jesus said, by this. Now, it wasn't something on the outside, was it? He said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have what? If you have love one for another. That's the bond of perfectness that binds us together this afternoon. It is the love of God. These are just a few of the basics of the church in Scripture and in song. Maybe in closing, we could stand and sing verse 1 and 4 of number 28. I trust that God will bless each one of us this afternoon. May these truths ever stay alive in our congregations, in this body of people, in our homes, and most of all in our individual life as we walk with God, that we would be part of this wonderful church of God. Amen.